Good morning, everyone. The Lord be with you. It is a pleasure to be able to be with you today. For those who don't know me, I am the Reverend David McElroy from St. Matthew's Anglican Church, and I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters there. It is a pleasure to be able to open up God's Word with you this morning. And the text for this week's sermon is from Paul's second letter to Timothy, which is one of my very favorite epistles. So we're going to read it together now. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought us to life and immortality, or brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of the Lord. The character of this epistle is quite different from most of Paul's letters because of the occasion. Paul is writing to Timothy from prison. Now, Paul's been in prison before, but this time is different. Paul knows that the end is coming. His death is approaching. And so he writes this beautiful letter. Timothy, you need to understand, and you will have picked it up in that reading, Timothy is like a son to Paul. Paul was there when Timothy took his first breath as a new Christian. Paul was there when Timothy was ordained as a minister of God, and it was actually the Apostle Paul himself who laid hands on Timothy, which you heard here as well in the reading. So the Apostle wasn't there for these moments alone. He also mentored Timothy in ministry over the years, and he was giving him greater and greater responsibility. In writing to the Philippians, Paul said of Timothy, "I have no one like him." An interesting bit of trivia, 5 of the Pauline epistles were actually co-authored by Timothy. Check it out, see if you can figure out which ones. But that's the kind of relationship that they had. And now, as Paul's counting down the days to the end, he writes Timothy to strengthen him for the battle. At the end of the letter, Paul will say, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." But he knows that Timothy's fight isn't finished. In chapter 2, Paul will tell him to share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So he writes this letter not just as Timothy's father in God, he writes as a veteran giving counsel to a younger soldier. And the dominant theme of today's text is that of courage. Opposed to courage are fear or timidity, and later on, fear's close relation, shame. Listen to what Paul says in verses 6 through 7. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Paul reminds Timothy and all of us as well that the same God who saved and called Paul is the one who has also given us this calling and given his spirit to indwell us and to fill us and to guide us. The Spirit of God gives us power to do the work of God in the world, to proclaim good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He has given us a spirit of power to enable us to carry the love of Christ out into the world, and when required, to defend the faith, to stand for the truth, and that, whatever the cost. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, Paul says, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. That's where self-discipline comes in. And self-discipline here, it's the self-discipline of the soldier in battle who is able to face the streaming hordes shield to shield with his brothers, and he's able to stand. Self-discipline is the strength to face opposition with love, with conviction, with unwavering strength. There are a lot of examples we could give. And one of the people who exercised this kind of courage is a man in Germany, who I'm going to talk about in a moment. And I realized the last time I preached with you, I gave a different but similar case. And I'm not always reading about the persecuted church, but here we are. We're going to look at a particular case. In 1934, Adolf Hitler summoned a number of key church leaders to his office in Berlin to have a go at them for not supporting his programs. One of the people who came, a priest named Martin Niemöller, explained that he couldn't support these programs because of what they meant for the church and for the German people. Hitler reacted to this, and he said, you confine yourself to the church, I'll take care of the German people. Some might have shut up at that point. Niemöller, though, knew who he served. So he answered, you say you will take care of the German people, but as Christians and churchmen, we too have a responsibility for the German people, a responsibility entrusted to us by God, and neither you nor anyone in this world has the power to take it from us. Hitler didn't say anything else, but that evening, the Gestapo raided Niemöller's home. A few days later, a bomb exploded in his church. For the next few years, he was watched by the secret police. He tried to keep his head down, but in 1937, he realized that his vocation as a Christian obligated him to challenge the darkness that he saw. On a Sunday morning in June, he stood up. He preached from the book of Acts, and he said that he would not comply with the demands of the state, saying, we must obey God rather than man, quoting one of the apostles. Shortly thereafter, Niemöller was arrested, and he was placed in solitary confinement for 7 months. Niemöller's trial began on February the 7th, 1938. That morning, a uniformed guard escorted the priest from his prison cell through a series of underground passages to the courtroom. Niemöller recalled feeling both very lonely and afraid on that long, silent walk. But as they left the tunnels and began to climb the final flight of stairs, Niemöller heard a whisper. At first, he didn't understand where it came from. Then he realized it was the officer escorting him, whispering words into his ears. And these words were from Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. At that moment, Niemöller said his fear fell away, and in its place, he felt a supernatural peace flooding his soul, a peace that would sustain him through his trial and through the years that he would spend in the concentration camps. What Niemöller knew is the same thing that St. Paul knew and Timothy knew as well, but Paul was reaffirming to him. Being a disciple sometimes means fighting. It means taking an unpopular stand. It means suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So what about us today? Will we be opposed as we live for Christ in the world? Well, of course we will. We serve a crucified Lord. Jesus told us we would be hated on account of his name. And later on in this very same epistle, Paul will remind Timothy that everyone who desires to live a godly life will be persecuted. So that's the nature of discipleship. The kingdom of God is invading the dominion of darkness, and there's going to be pushback. That's what we've signed up for, like it or not. We need to decide who we want to please then. Do we want to please God, or do we want to please the world? But here's the great thing, and it's the thing that strengthened Paul and was meant to strengthen Timothy too. Even if we lose our life for the sake of the gospel, we're still safe. That is the nature of the gospel. Death itself, Paul said, has been defeated. The war is already won. So really, the outcome's never been in doubt. And that's what Paul says in beginning at verse 9. God has saved us and called us to a holy life. And again, this is the gospel of grace, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace, he says, was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Wrap your minds around that. That's amazing, the strength that should give us. God has known us. He's loved us. He's given us this grace before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, again, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So, brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Take heart. These words from Paul are for you as well. The same gift that he says was given to Timothy dwells within you because the Spirit of the living God dwells within you. So fan the gift of the Spirit into flame and be willing to suffer as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Then you can say with Paul and Timothy and all the saints that have followed them, I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. And then finally, at the end, when the battle is done, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the calling you've placed on each of us, a calling to love you and to love our neighbors as ourselves, a calling to hold out the word of life, to live out our faith in the midst of a dark and troubled world. We thank you that as we do this, as we make disciples of all nations, we always have the promise of Jesus ringing within our ears, that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. So we ask you to give us courage, to help us to live out this life, and to never be ashamed of the gospel, which is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.